Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Sundsvall, Sweden, and earned degrees in fine arts and music performance from Northern State University and Bowling Green State University, and a doctorate of musical arts from the University of Michigan. In 2005, he joined the DSO as a library assistant and has held a number of ever-increasing leadership positions. Since 2021, he's been the president and CEO of the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, an American orchestra based in Detroit. His name, Eric Ronmark. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Eric Ronmark, a fabulous story, and President and CEO of the DSO. Eric, welcome, an honor to have you.
Thanks, Jack. It's great to be here.
Now, we talk a little funny, okay? You're from Sweden. Talk about growing up in Sweden and your mom and your dad.
Grew up, mom and dad. Dad, amateur musician, loved playing the piano. So music was always around. In Sweden, at that time and still to this day, you have to pick an instrument. I started taking piano lessons with my dad at home. He was a great teacher. I was perhaps not the greatest student. We had our fights over the piano. But then in fourth grade, you got to pick an instrument in school. You got lessons. And I chose the saxophone. And maybe it was having studied piano with my dad. I knew how to read music. The instrument came really easy to me. I loved the sound of it. And as with kids, when you find something you're passionate about and you start practicing it on your own, you know, you sort of hit something. And so I was pretty good at it. And I realized that, and was always this balance about how big a part I wanted music to play in my life. But I kept at it and applied to schools over here in the U.S. And the rest is history, as they say.
What's the biggest thing, Eric, you learned from mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Wow. I think both of my parents were educators. My dad was a superintendent of schools. My mom was an English and French teacher. So I think the importance of education, they were both avid readers. I grew up around books. And of course, when you're around people like that who value that, it obviously is instilled in you. But then I also saw a work ethic. My dad would be at work, but he would come home, he would read, he would practice the piano every day. My mom, the same thing. They were just passionate about their work and about furthering their education. So I think those are probably the values that has lived with me.
Tell us about Sweden. If one of us were going to go to Sweden for the first time, tell us about Sweden.
Well, it's a fairly small country. I compare it a lot to Michigan. It's very, very similar in values. It's very similar in size. It's now probably around 10 million people. You have your major cities in the coast, in Stockholm and Gothenburg, and in the south in Malmö. I grew up, as you said, in Sundsvall, which is about 3 hours north of Stockholm on the east coast. Very small, you know, sort of small city, big town feel. But I loved it. I got a great education over there. A lot of good values. And, you know, I think maybe, you know, half of Sweden's population emigrated to the U.S. in the late 1800s. And when you look at where they went, you know, the Minnesotas, Michigan, I think maybe it's just me, but the winters here don't feel as cold.
Speaking of winters, you shovel a lot of snow as a kid. Does Adrian have you still shoveling snow at the Ronmark residence today?
Yes, and I'm also trying to have my kids help out a little bit more with it. But yes, and I don't have a snowblower. I feel that as long as my back can make it, I'm still out there shoveling snow. But I think it's a family effort now.
What was your picture of America prior to coming here at age 19?
Well, I think America was always that big country in the West. You know, for me, when you look at opportunities in music, when you have a country like Sweden, of course there are opportunities there, but you compare 10 million people and a country like the U.S. of over 300, the opportunities are obviously over here in that area. And of course, now looking at orchestras, we have so many wonderful orchestras in this country. So it's just a vast landscape. So I had been over here in the early 90s at a summer camp and stayed in touch with some of the teachers. And one of them reached out to me as I had, after high school in Sweden at that time, you had to join the army. So I was in the army for a year in Sweden. And this teacher reached out to me and said, you know, I just got this job at a small university in South Dakota, and I would love to have you come over and study with me. And I thought, why not? That would be a great opportunity. Live away from home for a year and see where it might take me. And here I am, some, you know, almost 30 years later.
All right, you talk about music. The magic of music. It's the universal language. How do you explain that?
I don't know if someone could actually explain it on paper, I'd be amazed. But there is a feeling to it. I think in this world, human beings are looking for that awe and that inspiration of what great artists can do, whether it's great composers from the past, great painters, great sculptors, great poets and playwrights. And I think as a society, we decide what stands the test of time. And at the same time, you have artists living now who are creating wonderful works of art. And so you combine that with the talent that we have on stage at the DSO, in our wonderful musicians, the artistic leadership that we have from our conductors and guest artists. You get sort of this perfect mix, and I think that there's nothing like hearing, you know, 100 musicians playing together in an acoustically perfect hall that we are blessed to have here at Orchestra Hall. And also being in community with other people, because you are experiencing something that will never be quite the same again. Even if we repeat the performance on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, each performance is a little bit different. So you have this moment of experiencing something at the highest level together with other people in concert. And I think that is something that just can't be put down on paper.
We're talking to Eric Ronmark. If you want to learn more, www.dso.org. He's an accomplished saxophonist. When we come back, we're going to ask him, how good is he? And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula. We're with Eric Ronmark of the DSO. Eric, an accomplished saxophonist, how good are you?
Well, I think that's probably up to others to decide. But I studied for a long time. I wanted this to be part of my career, my goal in life. After having decided to stay in the U.S. and continue my education, I always wanted to be a musician, a teacher. I think my ultimate goal was to be a professor of music at a university. And you know, I had an opportunity at a couple of jobs, never quite got it. I taught privately for a long time, and formed a contemporary music group some over 20 years ago here in Detroit, and played with them for many years. Still helped them out, and I had the opportunity of playing as an orchestral saxophonist with the symphony on a couple of occasions, and that's just a marvelous experience. So I can hold my own when it comes to saxophone, but nowadays I love to play, but I leave the professional playing up to our wonderful musicians on stage.
You're being a little humble. You were a first prize winner of both the Fischoff National Chamber Music Competition and the Coleman Chamber Music Competition. You're also the recipient of the American Scandinavian Foundation's Award for Establishing Valuable Relationships Between Sweden and America. And in 2006, you played with the orchestra at Meadowbrook. And in doing research here...
you've been digging deep here, Jack.
I saw on the Facebook a picture out at Meadowbrook where they're announcing that concert, and it said, Eric Ronmark accompanied by the DSO.
That must have been a doctored photo. That would be an amazing honor if I was actually headlining with the Detroit Symphony. you know, it's always been, music has always been such a big part of my life, and I've been very fortunate to have had the opportunity to play with some great group. And now, of course, there's nothing more enjoyable than being part of an organization like this that really... performs music of all genres at the highest artistic level.
Okay. Eric Ronmark has not been featured with the DSO, but a Ronmark has. Adrian Ronmark. You outkicked your punt coverage when you married her. DSO violinist, the mother of your three children. Talk about Adrian and her mom and dad.
Yeah, so there's definitely a Detroit Symphony Orchestra history with her. Both her parents were in the Detroit Symphony. Her mother, a great cellist, and her dad was a tuba player. And so she definitely grew up around the Detroit Symphony. She was probably running around backstage orchestra hall when I was listening to DSO recordings back home in Sweden. But she's a tremendous violinist. We met at the University of Michigan, and you know, she started to get more work with the orchestra here shortly after that, and so we moved back to the area. She won the audition, I think, in 2008, just after we had our first kid, and so she's been a full-time member now for almost 20 years, and she's just a fantastic person and fantastic musician.
Sometimes when you come home with your tale of woe, does she ever pull out the violin and do like the Jack Benny, you know, this violin? Okay.
There's no sympathy in the symphony, right? Is that what you're saying?
Okay. In 2005, you get hired by the DSO as a library assistant for the outrageous amount of $12 an hour.
That's a lot of money back then, Jack.
What does a library assistant do?
Well, so the librarians, we have two full-time librarians who are members of the orchestra, it's a highly skilled job. You certainly need a lot of musical training to do it. We do so many concerts a year, and the musicians have to always know what's coming up and have their parts ready, their musical parts ready, and it's librarians' jobs to make sure that the musicians have everything that they need on stage. So I remember applying for this job and was very happy when I got it. I learned a lot about sort of the backstage workings of an orchestra. I think when I was in school, you either became performing musicians or you became a teacher. Those were sort of the two paths that you had to go down. And I didn't know that there was this whole world of arts administration out there. And starting working in the library and then sort of working my way up through different roles in this organization, I have a great understanding of what it really takes to put on these concerts. There's so much work that's happening backstage and in our admin offices. You know, you really need a great team all around so that, you know, when we come to concert time, those musicians can perform at their very best.
The late, great Henny Youngman. Okay, the one king of the one-liners. They asked him one time, you know, you've been in the entertainment world your whole life. He said, well, I started at age 5. He said, in fact, I remember my first lines in the theater. Popcorn, peanuts, popcorn. Okay. $12 an hour you started 20 years ago. Do you ever come home and Adrian and the kids say, hey, Dad, with the hours that you're working, you're still, in effect, only getting paid $12 an hour?
Well, you know, I think there is definitely a lot of hours that we're putting into this, and I try to sort of park my job as I park my car and come home and try to be a good dad and a good husband. But they understand that we're in the entertainment business, which means you have to work nights and weekends, and that's what we all do.
All right. Tell us about the history of the DSO.
Well, I think that would take longer than your show, Jack, but I'll try to summarize it in saying that we're the fourth oldest orchestra in the U.S., founded in 1887, and has one of the most wonderful concert halls in all of the U.S., built in 1919 for our music director at the time. And such a storied past. We were the first orchestra to hire a director of education. We've been doing recordings for almost 100 years. The Orchestra Hall was a jazz club in the 40s. We paid tribute to the history of jazz. And so I think it's just been one of those innovative stories. You know, we were the first orchestra to do a radio broadcast in the whole world.
In 1922. That's over 100 years ago.
Exactly. And now that legacy and that innovation continues. We're the only orchestra in the U.S. that webcast all our classical concerts. So there's just an innovative spirit in this group, fantastic storied legacy when it comes to performances, recordings, and guests, music directors. It's just a wonderful organization to be a part of.
We're talking to the legendary Eric Ronemark. If you want to learn more, www.dso.org. When we come back, we're going to talk about another legend by the name, oh, you got to come back. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible. We're with Eric Ronemark. The name Max Fischer. Eric, please.
Well, a legendary businessman, legendary Detroiter, great supporter of the arts and culture, something that he passed down to his children. We're very blessed to have him and Mrs. Fisher's name on our music center, which is attached to Orchestra Hall. And of course, both Peter Cummings and Julie and Philip Fisher and Jane and all the kids are tremendous supporters of the symphony. And I think when I think of names like Max Fisher and others in this city, the vision that they had for what Detroit can be and should be, and also for the role that arts and culture, and in this particular case, the Detroit Symphony, plays in the revitalization and the sustainability of a city, is really amazing. And of course, without people like him, we wouldn't have the wonderful Orchestra Hall and Max M. Fisher and Max M. and Marjorie S. Fisher Music Center. So their legacy is near and dear to all of us, and their legacy always continues.
One more person of legacy, your predecessor, Ann Parsons.
Yes. I mean, Ann, amazing leader, mentor. She became CEO of the Detroit Symphony in 2004. I joined the orchestra in 2005, of course. As I was working my way up, it took a few years before we started working together. But around 2008 is really when we formed a friendship at the DSO, and I was so blessed and fortunate to have her as a mentor and a supporter throughout her career and throughout my career, and miss her every day. And she was just a force of nature, and again, putting her name up there with the likes of Maxim Fischer and others are just visionaries who could see something when others couldn't. And you know, we're going to be forever grateful to Anne for what the DSO is now. And you know, we just have to keep her legacy going.
It's tough to replace a legend. And 3 years ago, almost to the day, you replaced the legend, and you get very high marks of how you're doing.
Well, those are big shoes to fill. But of course, when you work with someone that close, you wouldn't do it if you didn't share common beliefs. And a lot of the things that I'm very proud of when it comes to what this orchestra in particular are doing, we're putting on the highest level performances in Orchestra Hall, but we're also connecting with the city in different ways. There's a huge focus on music education and accessibility. Our investment in technology and our webcast series and now our recordings and all of that. Those were all projects and initiatives that we worked on together. So, of course, you want to find ways to put your own touch on this, but a lot of credit goes to Anne for the way that she really cared about the DSO and cared about this city.
I believe that just a couple weeks ago, you and your team released...
We released the first recording with our new music director, and it's so great when you think about the history here. Our very first recording was made in 1928 in Orchestra Hall, old shellac, 78 RPMs, and here we are almost 100 years later releasing another recording made in that same beautiful space with our new music director. And it's a great piece. Wynton Marsalis, the amazing trumpet player, composer, he wrote a symphony called Blue Symphony that really demonstrates the history of this amazing art form. So we wanted to make a big splash with Yada's first recording. So we recorded the Blue Symphony. Wynton was involved in the recording process, in the editing process. He is so excited about the recording. And of course, being a record collector myself, we work with Third Man Records up the street to release a limited edition vinyl of this piece. But it's an amazing work of art, and it's complex. It shows off the musicians. But it's really a tribute to the legacy of the art form. And, of course, it ties beautifully into our history and the focus on jazz in Detroit and Orchestra Hall being a jazz club in the 40s. So I think it's a full circle moment with Wynton Marsalis' Blue Symphony.
In the world today, it's what have you done for me recently? Not yesterday. What have you done for me this morning? Okay? When we come back, we're going to ask him, what has the DSO done in just the last 2 weeks? And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Anything is possible. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speaker Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to the president and CSO. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to the president and CEO of the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, Eric Ronmark. Eric, you've just announced the upcoming 25-26 DSO season.
Yes, it's been a busy couple of weeks. We just released our first recording with Yoder. We had a wonderful weekend of concerts. We did opera with our music director. And then now we just announced our 25-26 season. And it's an amazing season. And every year you always wonder, how are you going to top it? And somehow the staff and team find a way to do it. I'm really just proud of what we present, because we do so much, not just with the season announcement, but we have a wonderful learning and engagement department that focuses on music education. So every week there are hundreds of students that are coming through our building for lessons. So to be able to, and all of this also announce a spectacular season that I think has something for everyone, because as you know, Jack, we do wonderful classical concerts, but we also have a fantastic pop series. We do our young people's concerts, family concerts. We have a jazz series, and our what is really exciting now too, that has been very popular for us to reach even a wider audience, is our movies, where the orchestra performs the soundtracks to all these wonderful movies. So it's a great season, and we're opening, our opening week is in October with the fantastic pianist Hélène Grimaud, and she's performing Gershwin's Piano Concerto in F with us, and it's going to be a great way to kick off the season.
A year ago, you were talking to Sherry Walsh, and I quote you, "You want to get out of the hall more." What does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean that I want to get out of the hall permanently. That's for sure. Because
several of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean we
musicians would say we want you to get out of the hall more.
Maybe they want me to get out of the hall more. Yeah. No, of course. We do so much wonderful work in orchestra
and
hall.
And Adrian says, "I married you for better, for rich, but not for lunch." Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
No, the hall is our home, and it's been our home. We've been on the corner of Woodward and Parsons for over 100 years, and it is an acoustical gem, and it is a special experience to come to the hall and experience that level of musicianship together with 2,000 other people. At the same time, we know that Detroit is a very, very big city. And I think for us to meet people where they are is really important. We go and perform, of course. You know, we've been doing music education for over 100 years, and we do concerts in schools. We go out with musicians to elderly care centers, to hospitals. We perform concerts in partnership with different neighborhoods in the city of Detroit. And to top that all off, we do webcasts, which is a way to get into people's homes. I don't want anyone to be able to say, I can't do this. We want people to come and see us in any of these venues. And if not, you can watch us online, because it is such a wonderful tradition, and it's such a wonderful art form, an art form that I think is worth preserving. We've been here for over 100 years. I hope we'll be here for another 100. So when I say we want to get out of the hall more, I think you want to meet people where they are and form that connection. Because once you've experienced this, you're going to want to hear more.
Speaking of experiencing, when you get out, you've performed in a lot of churches in the community. Talk about some of those experiences.
Well, we performed in churches, we performed in synagogues. I think these, you know, when you look back at classical music, 400 years ago, a lot of this music was performed in churches. When you look at composers like Bach, who was an organist himself, who composed music for the masses, that music has continued to live on. So sometimes it feels very full circle when you go into wonderful venues with acoustics and hear the music in some ways the way it was performed 300-400 years ago. At the same time, we have a large orchestra, and you're looking for venues in these neighborhoods that might be able to hold this. We had a wonderful concert at St. Hedwig's Church just a couple of years ago, and it was just an honor to be invited into these spaces by the community and perform programs that are really co-created and co-curated with our partners in these neighborhoods. So they're special performances. And like I said before, every performance with this orchestra is different. So the important thing, I think, is to be able to really share this gift that our musicians have and the legacy of this orchestra with as big an audience as possible. And whether that's at Orchestra Hall or anywhere in the city of Detroit, I just want people to hear them.
Every orchestra has a music director, the conductor. That person has to be the quarterback. And we want someone like Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. And we have a young Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. Please.
Well, I would say we have a Jared Goff. I think, you know, if you're going to compare it to a quarterback, I don't think we can leave him out. Yes, Yadier Beniamini, Italian musician, started as a clarinetist in an orchestra in Milano and huge talent musically. And what you need in that position more than anything is someone who can really lead an orchestra, inspire an orchestra, and also has a vision artistically what they want to do. And we certainly found that. He was announced as music director in January of 2020, and we all know what happened in March. And Yada was a true trooper in sticking with us through the pandemic and came over here and conducted concerts in front of no audiences, and we webcast that into people's homes during the pandemic. And now I think we're really finding the stride with him as our artistic leader, and the orchestra just sounds amazing, and I can't wait for people to hear him.
All right. The artistic leader. He or she has to lead 80-plus artists, a few of which have egos. How do the great ones do it?
Well, I think just like every leader, they have their own leadership styles. And you also have to remember, you know, the musicians in this orchestra, they know this music better than anyone. They have practiced and performed it for years, sometimes decades. And so I think what you're looking for in a leader, and I think what we have in Yader, is someone who can really bring out the best of them. Because, you know, I always say I can stand on that podium and they will sound good, probably because they won't look at me. But when you have someone like Yader, he can make them sound great. It's like driving a race car, you know, in order to really be able to have that full potential of an orchestra like this, you need a leader that is inspiring and that knows what he or she wants. And with Yader as our music director, and the same thing for Enrico, our principal pops conductor, or our new principal guest conductor in Tabitha Berglund. She's amazing as well, and is actually going to be here in a couple of weeks. You know, with all of them, they find their own ways of inspiring and bring out the best of this orchestra. And they do it all in a really collegial way. I don't think we have those dictatorial maestros of the past anymore. These are people who are just passionate about making music.
When I go to the symphony, I'm amazed at how the orchestra is becoming more and more of a United Nations, a young United Nations.
Yes, and I mean, we have a very rigorous audition process, and we get candidates from all over the world come here to take the audition. And we're fortunate to have a young and vibrant orchestra, but at the same time, legacy orchestra like this carry on the tradition by the passing on of information. So having our new musicians really sit next to musicians who have been in this orchestra for many years is how that tradition continues.
The DSO is a gem, the building is a gem, and its president and CEO is a gem. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Wasula. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.